Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? How are you? We are back with another Whiskey and Wires. We are going to be talking about all things ChatGPT. Well, actually, I shouldn't say all things. We're going to chunk it down about ChatGPT. Obviously, there is a massive influx. You were telling me, you know, before we started recording, there was, what was it? The 14th highest
traffic. Yeah. For May, it was either 14 or 15. It bounced up and down a few times.
That is absolutely bananas. So with all that, obviously, you know, because it is in your space, we're going to talk about it and break it down. And we're going to start today with exactly what this is.
Right.
All right. Who wants to go first? Oh, wait. Hold on. But we have a tasty treat. And what do
we got? We have three whiskeys from Redwood Empire. We have a blended straight whiskey. We have, so that's called the Lost Monarch.
Mm.
We have the Pipe Dream, which is a straight bourbon whiskey. And then we have the third one, which is Emerald Giant, which is a rye whiskey.
Mm. Gosh, I'm looking at three bottles right now, and I'm just like...
Those are all Sonoma.
How's my lunch going
to
go?
Right. Yeah, this is a good moment to mention that an early day recording, so we are at Intuitive Networks officially day drinking.
Well, you can't day drink if you didn't start in the day.
Right.
Right.
That's funny. Okay, well, awesome. Well, this one's for you.
Thank you.
You've got this one, and that's me. So we're starting out with, I've actually never heard, they're out of Sonoma, you said?
Yeah, they're a Sonoma distillery.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't even know they had a distillery in Sonoma.
Oh yeah.
I've had these
probably for a couple of years.
I like it. All right, let's give it a shot before we jump into this ChatGPT. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Control burn, or we're just getting right after it?
Hmm.
Oh man. Ooh, that's tasty.
Hmm.
Yep. Very hot.
It is, yeah.
It has a lot of heat to it.
So this one has a blend of bourbon and whiskey.
Interesting.
So,
which is called a?
They're straight. It's a blend.
Blend. Well, you have straight blend. Straight.
Yeah. Basically, you can have different ages. You can have whiskeys and bourbons and all that, but this is actually straight, which is 4 years or older, blended with whiskey and bourbon.
Gotcha. Because I've had blended whiskeys before, but usually when I've had them, it's been a really, really old whiskey that's been blended with a younger one to cut it.
Right. Well, actually, that's to keep it consistent. So the flavor is there all the time.
Gotcha.
Usually when I've had blends, it's just whatever's in the bottom of that little mat from all the spills. Yep. And that's a really tasty blend.
Those are great.
Or you blend it with some LaCroix, or you blend it with some Coke. Right. No, Jack and Coke.
Yeah, typically the distilleries will blend older and newer in like different parts of the warehouse just to keep the consistent flavor.
Right, right.
Whew, that is, wow. I still have the flavor with coffee.
Yeah.
Didn't we do that?
We did. Yeah. Your buddy's homemade Bailey's equivalent with the coffee.
So good.
It was, yeah.
I was not here for that.
No, you were not.
It was very tasty.
Might have to do that sometime.
Yeah, no. And it was a little bit cooler in the recording studio.
Right.
Not too bad before it gets all absolutely bananas.
It's supposed to hit, I think, 112 on Sunday up where I am. It's going to be miserable.
You have to be on a body of water somewhere.
Right.
Well, we should probably ask ChatGPT about what the best thing to do is when it's 110.
Nice segue.
Okay, so tell us what it is. Tell everybody. Yeah. I mean, we've heard, but let's break it down from a technical, like, IT perspective.
In a very real sense, this is the third episode in a row that's kind of rotating around AI and ChatGPT, and we're doing it on purpose because we did the last two recordings one right after the other because we got on the train, I guess, for AI. Wanted to record it right away. We were fired up, feeling the drinks, and just went for it. Literally about 3 hours after we finished recording, I found a video just through my normal tech channels.
Yeah,
that just had all the information that I wanted for it. So I was like, let's do another one, get a little bit more of the information, because last time we focused on some of the global fears, some of the conspiracies, some of the some of the more 10,000 foot view sort of things. But now that, you know, I've seen some of the more in the weeds sort of stuff, I just want to chat about it because it's very interesting to see what it actually is as opposed to
what have you the learned? Fears.
Oh, a shit ton. Well, to start, just to give a baseline for our listeners out there about ChatGPT, a lot of folks know what it is, that it's a AI where you put in information and it gives you a response. I've learned a little bit more about it. So first of all, how it works is a lot of folks, in fact, there was an engineer for it who got fired for saying that it was sentient and that it's like actually thinking and stuff. Like, he was fired because that's ridiculous.
Skynet.
Right.
Why would he get fired for that? Just tell him, don't say that. That's crazy.
Because he was spreading false information from a position of authority, which could cause public outroar. Right. That's. You only need one person who's viewed as an expert to say the wrong thing to make everyone ignore the other 20 experts who are saying the opposite. Right.
I coughed there.
So basically, ChatGPT, it's only a few years old. It's currently in it's the OpenAI ChatGPT version. That's the publicly accessible one. They have one that's behind doors that they're still working on. That, interestingly, their OpenAI version 4 is supposed to actually be steps towards actual AI as opposed to just machine learning like this one, or pardon me, as opposed to mass learning like this one is.
Right.
But basically what ChatGPT did was they took it and over a series of months, they gave it access to
everything.
A lot of text, a lot of information, everything from manuscripts to forums to just a shit ton of information. It encompasses the entire English dictionary, right? And within the English dictionary, it used all that to start making connections, kind of like the same way that our brains do. It has connections between different things, a neural network. Mm-hmm. And when you get an input, you come out with an output based on your experiences.
Yeah.
So basically, it has somewhere near 200 billion connections between these words.
But it doesn't know what a word
is. No. And it just, that's
so crazy.
Yep. So that's, and again, we'll get into that a little bit. That's the biggest misnomer and misconception. And one of the things that separates it from a true super AI as opposed to a narrow or a general one. So it is a narrow AI in which means that it has one function.
Yeah, there's classifications.
Right? Yeah. There's narrow, general, and super, where narrow is it does one thing, does it incredibly well with all the power behind it. General is, again, more general. It has broader capabilities, but it still is not self-aware, sentient. It doesn't have a conceptual understanding of things. It just does a lot of things.
So like a lot of the art or music AI, that would be called narrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because that's all it does.
Yep, or even older AIs that help scientists do things automatically, automated systems that can recognize things and act appropriately, mm-hmm. that are more complicated than tools or systems, but still very focused. Mm-hmm. So what ChatGPT does is just a whole lot of math. That's it. It's just a mathematical formula. It sees the input, it parses out each individual word, and based on its 200 billion connections, it word by word gives the response that it thinks is most appropriate. And that's it.
And then you or us as the human will go and say, yeah, that's appropriate. So every time we confirm its appropriateness, it chalks that up to go, all right, we got it right.
Yes and no. So yes, in that it still takes it into consideration, but most of that's already been done on the back end. So as part of development, OpenAI hired a bunch of checkers, basically, that their entire job, day in, day out for a long time, was to do exactly that. And they were the ones who set some of the boundaries, ethical boundaries, stuff like that, because there's AIs in the past. There was one very famous experiment of a AI that got put on 4chan. It was a well-known experiment. They said, hey,
put on what?
4chan. It's a forum website that is more depraved. If you're into trolling and memeing and stuff like that, there's some high quality content. If you're there for any sort of value, it's hard to find, right? One of those sorts of, yeah, exactly. But it was put on there as a experiment of learning based on a set of data.
Yeah.
And I think it was something, it was either within a number of minutes or a number of hours, very, very short period of time where it was publicly put in and people could interact with it. It became a Nazi fascist racist to the extreme, just because of the quality of inputs and because of trolls interacting with it and confirming certain things with it.
Huh.
And so moving forward, whenever
you train it in essence.
Yes, exactly. It's a transformative program. That's what the T in ChatGPT stands for. It's transformative. It takes in data, and based on the connections it makes, it sees the most likely outputs. It doesn't understand what it's saying. It doesn't understand what it's doing. It doesn't understand what you're saying to it. It's just statistically putting out what's most likely to be correct. So if you say,
"Damn, that's good."
Yeah. So if you say, "Hey, ChatGPT, what's the sixth element on the periodic table?" It moves from back to forward, sees table, and it comes up with, through its 200 billion connections, parses out what the most likely things for table is. And it goes back, table, element, sixth, and based on those, narrows it down to carbon, right? And it says, sixth element is carbon. It doesn't understand.
You confirm, yeah, your calculations are correct.
Yeah, and it doesn't know what a periodic table is.
Yeah.
It doesn't know what an element is. It doesn't know who you are asking it the question. It just knows statistics and math. It's a very, very fancy and advanced calculator with 200
so
billion connection points.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
I haven't used it. I've played around with it.
Yeah.
My son uses it all the time. He uses it. I goof around. He uses it.
See, that's what, like,
yeah.
I think our generation, like, once you're set in your ways, like, right. I know that it can do a lot of things. I don't use it.
And I mean, that's kind of that's the generational drift that always comes with technology a little bit, right? It's why we joke around about folks not using Facebook, right? And our generation's Facebook, or my generation's Facebook, right? Where our parents were like, oh, I won't use that. Or if they use it very limitedly. And is next generation's AI bots, right? Where we're like, I don't know if it's necessary. But they're just, it's the next thing, right?
Dang, that is so crazy. So are there flaws in it?
Yes.
And I ask because if it's so mathematically sound.
It isn't.
Oh,
so
but that's what it's billed to be.
So there are the difficulty with it is because it has so many connections and it does all this on its own automatically. It has drawn these conclusions. We did not draw it for it. We are physically and mentally unable to lift the hood. We do not know how it's coming up with it. We just know that it is. We can have the thought. We can have the thought experiment. Well, we put in these things, so it made these connections. But at that large of a scale where it's considering the entirety of the human language, it is in a sense the first AI to understand human language, understand quote unquote.
So does it understand other languages?
It can. I believe so. I don't know about anything other than English. I'm American, and I only care about us.
Yeah. No.
No.
Tell me it in Russian or tell me it in Chinese.
I'm sure that it has access to translators and stuff like that. But
I would imagine it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, if there was only this computer sitting next to us, who could look?
Right.
I mean, if you can Google it,
you can.
I'm sure you can chat GPT.
Well, we have a paid version.
So yeah.
We use it from that aspect.
Yep.
And from the messaging side, like on a marketing side,
mm-hmm.
It's not used for, hey, write this and you're done.
Right.
What it does is it gets the creative juices honestly like started like
yeah.
Okay, you said that, but let's switch it, let's adjust it, and you get more information that it can pull. I think it's almost like a interactive Google, not that you search and you just get to a bunch of stuff, you got to filter.
Yep.
Does the filter and go, here's the best answer, and you refine on that versus an entirely new search.
There are two issues with it.
So like I said, there are two, I mean there's probably more. I am full disclaimer going into this, I am by no means a AI engineer, expert, anything like that, but just publicly what the experts are seeing and producing, these are their concerns.
And you're doing research on it. I mean nobody's, it's so new that everybody's.
And that's kind of what I was getting into, where you can't really pop the hood and see what's happening. There are people who have engineered and set it up who are not really experts as to what's happening because they can't see it actually. They have theories and
it's all guess.
They know what's kind of going on.
Yep.
But it's not like you can see it. And that's that's fundamentally the first flaw, or the first, not flaw, but first problem with it, right? Is because it can come out with answers that are wrong.
Yeah.
That you can't verify why it's wrong, why it came to that conclusion. All you can say is, no, that's wrong, and trust that it figures out why.
Right. Like
initially in some of their initial testing, it came out with a idea that Elon Musk died in 2018, even though they could trace back that some of the things that he had definitely, some of the things that this.
That were posted or in the internet, I guess.
Some of the references that I was using definitely point to him not being dead in 2018, but it still somehow came up with that conclusion because it is parsing word by word based on most likely.
Huh.
And it just so happened to come out with that.
I wonder if it could have predicted that he's going to be fighting Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
How sick. If that happens, are you guys going to watch that?
Wow.
You would or no? I think. Have you heard it? You haven't heard about this?
No. What's going on?
Oh my gosh, you're killing me. This is so funny. So, Elon Musk, and it happened something to the point of it got out to Mark Zuckerberg. So, Dana White hopped in UFC, and they're actually trying to put together like a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like a legit, let's get in the ring.
I've seen some memes about it. Yeah. I didn't know it was a real thing.
No, 100%. It would be like when Conor McGregor fought Mayweather.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was like one of the highest, biggest paid pay-per-view. Dude.
So who's going at it?
Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh.
Tesla and Facebook, or boring and Facebook, whatever you want to call it. So that would be so crazy. You'd see those. That's the start of the alien race right there. They don't need their bodies.
One guy's built athletically. The other one's built like a 1950s refrigerator.
Yeah. Have you seen the one where he's like on a yacht or whatever, and they put up like a pug standing or a Frenchie standing, and they're about the same body type, but they're all like pale white. And
so just... I'll put my money on the pug.
The pug? That Elon? You think Elon would beat Zuckerberg?
I mean, it's sports, right? You're betting?
Yeah.
I would put my money on Zuckerberg. I think he's a little bit younger, a little bit more athletically leaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right now. I saw something where he's training, which I think started the whole – I mean, it could be something that they're just hyping. I mean, you don't believe everything on the interwebs.
So I'll be
cashing
in on my ticket while you're like, man – I should have won.
And then you throw Jeff Bezos in there and he wins before they even go in, because he just sleeps with their wives and, breaks their spirits.
Breaks their spirits, and then he's all yoked up.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Isn't he the one all yoked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well.
So bananas.
Bringing it back a little bit.
Yeah. Bring it back.
The first flaw is that we can't guarantee that it'll always be right, because it can take from incorrect information and draw incorrect conclusions, and we can't really limit that because it takes in all the information, including the wrong information.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the second point, which is malicious wrong information specifically put out there to trick AIs.
Because they're trying to beat it.
Is becoming not only trying to beat it, but trying to inform or manipulate it a certain way.
Yeah.
Either maliciously just for shiggles, right? From trolls. Or the thing that I think is fucking hilarious, which is AI inbreeding. This is something that's coming
out.
Yeah, AI inbreeding. It's something that's coming out more and more within the AI art space.
Well, before you really get into that, what made me think of, oh gosh, that's a thing, is that you go back to GameStop. Like, so if enough people can get together, band together for a common cause, boot, they can make a run on the stock. So you can go and, have thousands of people, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people,
right?
Well, feed it false stuff.
Well, here's the issue, is that it's taking in theoretically all the information back to the printing, to the creation of the Gutenberg press, right? It's taking in all of human print,
recorded print,
and taking that. So it would take a long time for humans to come up with enough to persuade it.
That's a good point.
But since its inception, ChatGPT in theory, based on the number of monthly subscribers and the amount of information that it puts out for each one, it's estimated that ChatGPT and AIs like it have now put out more information themselves than the entirety of human history.
What?
Yeah.
And how long?
A year.
1 year they've put out. It has
more written items.
Has created, yeah.
Than the creation of the Gutenberg press, which means...
When is the Gutenberg press...
I don't.
Bad dreams hit me.
You know the actor Steve Gutenberg?
Yeah,
he's from Police Academy.
Yeah,
Steve
Gutenberg.
That guy.
When did Gutenberg start in printing.
Oh, give me 2 seconds. I'm doing the
1700s, 1800s. I should know this. We should know this. So. But everybody listening is into IT things and stuff like this, so they don't care about when the printing press came.
Printing press was 1436.
So since it was recorded
for the last 600, for all the human put out information for the last 600 years, within a year, AI has put out more based on those last 600 years of data.
And when you say put out information, it's me going in saying, please write a blog article on malware. Boom. Yep. And so that's content created. Yep. Holy smokes. That's bananas.
Which, as soon as any of that, when we're seeing it mostly with art AI right now, but the theory is that it's also applying to chat AI, because art AI goes out and takes huge quantities of art, pulls it into itself, and comes out based on your prompt, right?
Yeah.
It can't differentiate between real art and AI-generated art. AI-generated art is inherently has flaws, too many fingers, weird eyes, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So as it takes in more AI-generated art, it thinks that those things are correct and produces more of it. So AIs are now coming out with art that is more and more flawed because these properties, these flaws are becoming inbred, right? It's very close to genetics, right? Where one art produces one with the same flaw.
Yeah.
So,
and then it doubles down.
So exactly. So the more art that it pumps out, the worse it's getting because it's taking from its own flawed repository.
Yeah. Have you seen the Shaquille O'Neal fitness shake thing that was made by AI?
No.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I'm going to have to show that.
So in theory, people are expecting ChatGPTs and stuff like that to do the same, where since it's pumping out so much information, it's going to start pulling from its own information that it put out, which means that all those flaws that it potentially has, even if we don't see them now, will become more and more pronounced.
So if that is that the case, you know, if the American, I shouldn't say American public, humans start to distrust the platform, it'll die away. They won't use it anymore. If you don't use it anymore, what, you know?
I mean,
because if
Photoshop has existed for years. Deepfakes have been a thing for years.
Oh, yeah.
But we still trust all the pictures and articles we see until we check them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's pictures out there that have super convincing, right? And there's just small tweaks that you can make with AI. Like there was one of the Pope wearing a super puffy jacket. Looked real. It actually fooled a lot of people, but it was AI generated. There was one of Trump being arrested. Looked hella
real. Oh, yeah. I did see that.
But it was fake as well. And as time goes on, more and more of these are being produced. And if people can find a way to produce them realistically, maliciously, then those articles, those pictures are what are going to be referenced. And so there's going to be a mass proliferation of false data, and we won't be able to tell if it's true or not.
Yes, and people are talking about, you know, politicians saying things that they didn't because of the way it's generated.
If 10,000 bad actors all go out there, and just because it's one that we mentioned, and say, Trump got arrested for X, Y, or Z, and pump out at the speed of AI, pump out that false information in both pictures or press.
Watch this.
Remote access. Help desk team.
Dang.
Oh, dude. Lord. Did you see the beer commercial?
Yeah, you should.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. It's so funny.
So, that's great.
Yeah. So what you're saying, if everything is wrong and it starts to get inbred and it's using its own incorrect data as a reference point.
So there's two branching thoughts as to where this will go wrong, right? If it's not corrected, if we don't take a step back and fix it or set a solid gravity point or something like that, there are two ways that this can go. The first way, which is the non-malicious way, is just it's going to stop being usable because its point of reference is so muddled and wrong. Yeah. And because we can't get under the hood and correct it, it's already made these connections. We'll have to kill it and start over or roll it back to a point before it made all these poor connections, right? Because it's made all these billions and billions of connections on things that are inaccurate now. And it can't tell. Again, it can't tell what's true, what's not true. It can't tell even what it's bringing in or putting out. Nope. All it's doing
equations.
Is saying statistically this connects to this more often than it doesn't. So there's a connection. And then these two things are often used at the same time. So it's making a connection, putting them closer together than this or that. It uses
So it put together Shake and Shack.
And just
a Shack-a-million.
Just to go into how complex this is.
Or Shack Shake.
When you think about a graph of data, right? If you think about a 2D graph about door and car are used together more than door and empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're farther away than door and car would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of... And then you think of a 3D. Well, if you take it, pick it up, then you have a 3D representation.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets more and more complex. ChatGPT, the way that it does it and why it's billions and billions of connections, it uses something like 12,000 dimensions worth of data,
jeez,
which is literally incomprehensible to the human mind. But that's how it does this. That's how it has such complex connections.
So in quantum computing, which is something we need to come in, sorry, come next, and does that integrate with?
I don't know enough about quantum computing to say for sure. I think that it's different technology and it can probably be integrated in a different way. And they're probably looking into it, but I think it's fundamentally a little bit different.
Remember when in The Matrix Reloaded, Neo makes it in the end and he goes to the architect?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And basically he says, you're the sixth version?
Yep.
I wonder what version we are.
Version 10.
You said like if it keeps on going and getting wrong, we got to start over. So like,
well, I'm not.
What version are we?
I'm not saying restart the simulation.
I don't know. I was going to get into a biblical thing. Like, kind of technically, we're the second if you follow the flood.
Right. More just saying the technology itself, if over time it takes in too much bad information and that's what it bases to connect, it's not like we can unwind those bad connections
because
it's so complex that we can't understand how those and we can't take them out.
Yeah.
So we would have to roll it back to
version 2.
If we're at 3.5 version 2.8, then we'd have to roll it back to like 1.2, right? Just to correct it, which it is such a large program.
Yeah.
It literally takes millions of dollars to continue to run, right? It's just based on how much processing it's doing.
So who owns it? That's what I don't know. Do you know it?
OpenAI. Mm. Which is a proprietor of Elon Musk.
The Musk man. That's why I put my money on him.
See, OpenAI is owned by Elon Musk now.
Did he invest?
I don't know.
Because he's always been kind of like a proponent of AI, but
To say it was started by someone else, but he picked it up really quickly, kind of like how the Tesla name was, where it was technically owned by someone else, but he picked it up and took it to where it is now. I want to say that, but that could just be wrong.
I mean, in a sort of way, isn't Tesla doing that same thing? It's taking all the information from people driving and making...
OpenAI is its own company. It has several different things. ChatGPT is just one version of one of their internal AIs that they're working on.
It's a distribution. It's
their public version.
Right? Yeah.
They have their own different narrow AI within Tesla's, right? For the self-driving and everything like that. It makes me wonder if that was the initial vision for it, was assisting Tesla with that sort of technology, and then it grew.
That's so
through
wild.
R&D, but who knows?
That's so crazy.
I'm just listening.
He's like, I'm learning.
Yeah.
So I had that last drop.
Yes.
It's almost as if there was a sugar cube in there. It is so sweet.
Mm.
Yep.
That was really, really good.
Well, it's a young bourbon.
Hence the sweetness.
So you get that. Yeah, it's young bourbon. It has this flavor. I can always pick it up.
Mm.
Yeah,
it was like there was a little bit of bitters and like the sugar cube. It's like that last drop, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, what are we going to do for the last one?
So that one's a rye. This is called Emerald Giant. And the theme is, if you know, it's all about giants and redwoods.
Mm-hmm. John Muir, I've noticed the
lot
of John Muir.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's all discovery.
Yeah. It's all NorCal. Right?
It's not this thing. Dang. So how do we get, or do you think we get to, in our lifetime, super AI?
That's going to be a great question.
I'm literally sweating.
Depending on what your definition of super AI is, and depending on what your beliefs as to what constitutes self-awareness and those sorts of things go.
Yeah.
Right now, without a doubt, we can for sure say the AIs that we have are not by any means self-aware, because they're just fancy computers in a sense. They're doing
Highly, you get a taste.
Yep.
A little snifter. Boom. I mean, there's got to be a definition. There has to be a definition of it.
See, that does get muddled, though, because I believe the initial ideas of self-awareness and stuff like that had to do with souls and were much more of a religious take than they were of a scientific take. Because the scientific idea of self-awareness and a soul is convoluted at best.
I don't think you can unintertwine a religious component to a soul. Well, I don't even know how you break that down.
You can if you say that the soul is a fabrication of religion and things like that, and that a soul, a never dying thing that gives us what we are as a person, doesn't exist. That we are a neural network within a complicated body, and that's all we are, which is, you know, kind of the leading thought process within science right now. And
which,
if you take that, then in theory, if you have a neural network that is as complicated as a human mind, that is actually able to understand, compute, learn on its own, everything like that, then you have achieved self-awareness in a sense.
That's what they think? That's what's out there?
That's not what's currently out there. What's out there right now is a very complicated neural network that mimics our own, that has the same type of connections as ours. The neural network that it has is made to mimic the human mind's neural network, but it has no understanding.
Right. So it's funny. Well, that's a whole separate never.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to
get it. And that's why it's such a difficult thing. And that's why a lot of these conversations get so muddled and not to the point, is because there are foundational ethical issues that come with this that people don't have a groundwork agreement on. And so we can't get to the higher level stuff because we're all stuck at the lower level trying to figure out, you know, what makes something self-conscious, right? Or not self-conscious, self-aware.
That's not being told. I'll tell you
what, the trauma of my past makes me self-conscious.
Yeah. My 46-year-old midsection makes me self-conscious.
Self-aware.
I'm very self-aware.
Right. And so I have a feeling that even within the next 20 years, we come out with super AI that checks the boxes for being able to learn, being able to actually understand the data that it's taking in, putting out. If we can prove that it is understanding what it's doing, even then, not everyone will agree that it's self-aware, or that it's alive, because there are the ethical, sometimes religious issues with that.
The moral side of it. Do you remember in iRobot when?
Yep. Yeah.
He walks into, I think Will's the character walks into mom's house, his mom's house. Robot's in there. He's like, it makes my life easier. Do you think we'll see that in our lifetime?
So
it's 20 years, hopefully, is my lifetime.
Right.
Will I have somebody or something that knows that is super AI coming in and pouring me a cocktail?
Well, they're good cocktail. Okay.
Yes, like, and no.
Bitch, that sucks. It's like, fuck you.
I mean, Internet of Things, smart technology, the way it's advancing, I definitely think that we are heading in the way where especially narrow AIs, as they develop, will be integrated. Narrow AIs will be integrated.
We'll feed a super.
So we will have more and more programs that are smart, right? Quote unquote smart, and able to adapt to different input better than just programs.
It can't be self-aware, because then it will either not do things you ask it or do things you don't want it to. And if it is self-aware, can it be weaponized?
Well, and that's the thing. Here's the kicker to it, right? Is if we're making it self-aware, we are still making it self-aware within the boundaries of the inputs that we initially put into it. OpenAI works so well because it was created with boundaries. It was created with these 30 or whatever fact checkers that went in and helped guide it in that way. It has preset boundaries as to ethics and stuff like that. Which is why when you go to ChatGPT and say, hey, tell me how to make a bomb, it says, no, I can't do that.
Because it has regulations.
Exactly. Even though technically it has all the connections it needs necessary to output mathematically the best connections for how to make a bomb.
There was a big thing, I don't know, a couple months ago, did you see it, to where a kid loosely, I don't know, 10 or 20, had it give it the recipe or the makings for napalm. Do you see that?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, it's a big old, it's like, and they probably worked around it, like, how do you make a vegetation control that is combustible?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it said, here's something, build this. It's napalm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Again, it's not understanding what it's doing.
Right.
You know,
I don't think that it ever really could. You could give it the appearance of.
Exactly. And that's why
it'll never
that's
be.
That's why that engineer was fired. Right, is because it has the appearance of self-awareness, but at a fundamental level, it doesn't. We can prove that it doesn't right now.
Right, right. And,
but he was spreading that false information because it appeared that it was scary to him. It was like, wow, this is so convincingly communicating with me. It must be, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gosh, damn, that's crazy.
people are fallible, and we give into our fears a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so as this progresses, it's going to become very scary, and there's going to be a lot of false information about it. And so if you take away anything from this, is take everything you hear about AI for the next 5 years with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice. I mean, use it. And that's what we're going to be talking about on the next episode, is how do you use it? Like, what's an effective way you can use this tool? Right? And you got to look at it as a tool, right? It's not the biggest hammer. It's not the best hammer. It's just a hammer. How do you use it?
A freaking, like, in a very real sense, we talk.
Yeah.
Probably accidentally, we do talk a bit of doom and gloom on this podcast when it comes to new technologies and stuff, especially from a cybersecurity standpoint. But in a very real way, this is freaking cool.
It is. When you take off the, what the hell, like the science fiction hat, and you're like, that's pretty badass.
It is a mathematical engineering computer science thought experiment marvel. It is awesome. It is groundbreaking in so many ways, and it is laying the framework for so many cool technologies we're going to see in the next 10 years. It's terrifying, but it is super cool.
But we go straight to Skynet.
I mean,
that movie, you know?
Well, again,
everything in this now was in a movie. You rewind 20, 30 years.
The fundamental issue with it turning into Skynet, again, is because what Skynet did was, as a quote unquote super AI, it understood the information coming in and drew its own conclusion that humans were an issue. It created that own conclusion by a level of understanding.
We need to be mobilized, weaponized, because we need to take care of this
threat.
It drew
its own conclusions.
Which happens to be human.
Based on an understanding that it created itself. It wasn't given that data. It wasn't told humans are the problem. Humans are the problem. Millions of times.
Yeah.
It drew its own conclusion and acted on that conclusion independently.
Which is why John had to go back in time to stop it.
Which is something that... the technology can't do right now, because there's no levels of understanding, no levels of conclusions being drawn at all.
What if we're living in, so Elon is alive, but then eventually somebody comes back and takes him out because he is the dude who starts Skynet.
And
there you go.
So we're in version like 3 or 4 of the human race. So by the time this happens, someone's going to come back in the future. We're off the fucking rails. Yeah. That last drink that's probably my favorite, dude. That was sweeter than this one.
Again, did you get the apple peel? Green apple.
No, because I'm pretty buzzed.
Okay. No, I
really... But it's sweet. But we went from bitter, not bitter, I shouldn't say, but hot to sweet.
To sweet.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
A little bit of that has to do with you acclimating to it as you drink more.
That is true.
Yeah. But also...
Rye typically are very sweet.
I love rye. Rye are some of my favorite.
I'm going to try to get a hold of the... They have the same three in barrel proof.
Yeah.
They just came out with it, so I am going to try my best.
So I've been on a High West, which I don't have any because...
I love High West.
I love High... But dude, you just turned me on to something, man. My motor's revving on this stuff. That's so good.
Yeah.
Where can you get this?
BevMo or, you know.
You guys need to get an affiliate link. So, like, we say, hey, go to the comments below. Go to the show description and be like, go check out our recommended.
You should.
That'd be awesome. All right. Well, there we go. There you have it. Thank you, guys. Cheers for hanging.
Cheers.
We'll be back next time for some practical applications on how you guys use it within your world.
And since you actively use it for some of the marketing stuff like that, we'll maybe have some questions for you.
Actually, yeah, absolutely. Huh. Interesting. All right. All right, boys. Everybody, thanks for hanging out. Peace.